This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
The James Webb Space Telescope has shared its first high-resolution images, providing unprecedented views of the universe.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Sarah Webb, I've been thinking of you all week. You must be so excited at the moment.
Oh my goodness, I am so excited. It is very nice to wake up and see big, beautiful pictures of our universe. It makes the days a bit better.
I've got a question for you, though, because I've had a couple of dinner conversations and people have one particular question has come up a few times, and that is, like, if we've got a camera in front of us and we take a picture of something now, it's in front of us, and that's a snapshot in time of what we see as such. Now, this telescope can, see things that were billions and billions and billions of years old. How do we see something in space that is so old, like it's already happened billions and billions of years ago?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So instead of having the camera take a photo of something that's in front of you, so everything you see, this is going to hurt your mind, but everything that we see with light has technically, it is in the past. So even right now, there might be a computer screen in front of you. That light is just a few microseconds old. So it's slightly in the past. So everything in our day lives looks instantaneous. Back up in space, though, we're getting light that is just reaching us here on Earth. So light that has traveled so far across the entire time of the universe to then hit this telescope. And we're pretty lucky that the universe is an extraordinarily big place that most of this light can travel uninterrupted for all of that time. So we're just lucky that this light is able to hit us. But yes, everything you see up in space and beyond is looking back in time.
So how far back in time then can this telescope look?
Pretty far back. So we think our universe is 13.8 billion years old. So that's how long ago we think the Big Bang happened. Whatever the Big Bang was, we're glad it happened because we're here. After that, it took some time for galaxies and stars to form. So the first light that we can see using the JWST telescope is about 13.7 billion years old. So just 100 million years after that Big Bang. So exceptionally old.
So that's almost, so if we use your analogy of the screen, so it's almost, let's say, the little alien turned on the screen, 13.7 billion years ago, and that light has travelled that far towards this telescope. Like, it's taken that long to get there.
Exactly right.
What does light years mean? Like, is that, like, break down that term?
Yeah, so light years is a tricky one. So when this is before we knew that the universe was bigger than our galaxy, bigger than just us back about 100 years ago, we realized that light had a pretty definitive speed. And this is not just light that you see with your eyes, but all sorts of light. So X-rays, radio waves, gamma rays, all of it travels at the speed of light, a constant. And this speed of light is about 300,000 kilometers a second. Incredibly, incredibly fast. And so this light has that speed limit. So what you could do is measure distance with the speed of light. So you could say the moon is 1.3 light seconds away from us. So that means that it would take light about 1.3 seconds. And when you're in the local universe, when you're looking at stars or within our galaxy, this works excellent. You can say that that star is 5 light years away. And that is pretty good. You can calculate its actual distance. The problem we have when we look at galaxies that are really, really far away is that that light might be 13.7 billion years old, but it is not now 13.7 billion years away. Space and time has stretched in between that, and so now it's much, much further away than the light that we're perceiving, which I think that hurts my brain.
Yeah, that hurt my brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enormous universe.
I was thinking, like, dog years versus human years kind of thing. but it's like,
yes.
Yeah, it's like similar, I guess, but very different. But thank you for breaking that down, because I've always wondered, like, what?
And we can answer that dinner table conversation now as exactly. to why it can see so far back in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah, this is why we need you. Now, you've also seen images of baby stars forming for the first time. What is that, and how exciting or excited should we be?
So this is pretty awesome. So baby stars, which we all love. How could you not love anything that's a baby? Baby stars form all the time in galaxies, and our galaxy is still forming little stars as we go along. And they form in areas we call nebula or stellar nurseries, and it's big, big clumps of gas and dust and debris and all sorts of stuff that's happening, and this is where stars can kind of clump together and form. And up until now, most of those areas are pretty opaque to visible light or to UV light. We can't really see through the dust. We can see around it, but not through it. But James Webb, the space telescope, has allowed us to basically have cheeky x-ray vision if you were Superman, and look through some of those dust particles to see the stars forming within these giant clouds. And this is that absolutely stunning image. If you Google JWST Carina Nebula, this will pop up, and it is completely breathtaking.
Sarah, is it kind of like a like an ultrasound that we're seeing?
Yeah, kind of. We're just exactly right. We're looking at the universe in a slightly different wavelength.
Yeah, wow.
Ultrasound is just using a slightly different wavelength to look into your body. So same thing, but on a big scale.
Wow. So how significant is this telescope and what you're seeing? Are there things that you're seeing from the images being sent back and you're saying, we just don't know what this is or what it's made of?
So I think at the moment the data is all very, very new, and over the next couple of months there's going to be some programs who have put in special targets that they want to look at, areas of the universe that they don't know what's happening. They want to know what was happening with galaxies forming back in the time, and I think this is where JWST is really going to shine, because it's going to give us glimpses to light from these galaxies that we otherwise could absolutely never see. And this is where we're going to be able to hopefully solve some mysteries about how galaxies form in the first place and how big they might have been back when they were little bitty babies, and how that transitions all the way to the galaxies that we see in modern day universe, the big beautiful spirals and structures and black holes. So hopefully we'll get a bit of an insight into the baby picture of the universe.
Super cool. Sarah, is there anything in these images that we've seen so far that could potentially assist the Joy Drive, especially Warren's quest to find aliens?
Yes, quite possibly. So
you're so excited. Please don't disappoint.
So James Webb is just not a camera. It is basically a big camera. It can take pictures, beautiful pictures. But the most powerful thing that it can do is take something called spectrum. So this is where you grab light, you put it through a prism, just like how we get beautiful rainbows. We put light through a prism and we get that array of color. The same thing we can do with infrared light. And when we do this, we can then try and isolate really specific little absorption or emission lines to give us hints about what things are made out of. So this is awesome, because we're going to be able to use this to look at exoplanets around other stars and try to figure out, what are they made out of? What type of atmosphere composition do we have? Do we have any signatures that might suggest they could be similar to Earth? And if they are, could that suggest that maybe, just maybe, there could be organic life down there?
But also, I suppose, Sarah, that also means potentially we could use this to find another Earth. I mean, we've stuffed this one up, so at some point we'll probably need another one. But could you, in all seriousness?
Yeah. Sorry, I laugh because if you don't laugh, you cry.
I know. I'm the same.
This Earth is exceptionally special. So even if we found another one out there, we might find one that is really, really similar from all accounts, from the data we can get. It is undoubtedly going to be so far away that there is almost no hope of, in our lifetimes or in our grandchildren's children's lifetimes, of us getting there. And so I think even though we might be able to try and humble ourselves that we aren't alone with similar Earths, I think the big take-home message is to care for the one that we have.
Well said, Sarah. Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for joining us. And it's great to hear your excitement.
Oh, thank you for having me. Anytime.
We'll chat to you again in a couple of weeks. It's Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist from Swinburne University of Technology.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.